Phil, do you have the scripture?
The Father revealed in the Son. At the time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the children. Yes, Father, for this it is what you were pleased to do. All things have been commanded to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those who the Son choose to reveal. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in my heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Even when we're a small group like this, and maybe even especially when we're a small group like this. You know, with all that's going on right now in the world and in our little world right here, with the coronavirus and all, we're seeing how people react in difficult times. Most people seems like they're doing what they should do, but then there's others that they go out and do things they shouldn't do. But it's a time of testing. It's a time of testing. And the Lord wants us to trust in Him. Just before I get started into the message here, I want to let you all know that next Sunday will be an ordination service. And I'm hoping that Rusty will brave it and come, and Jim and Mary will be back. As far as I know, they said they were coming back. So we can go ahead and do the ordination service. It'll just be a short service. I'll keep it down. I'm going to keep this one short too. And of course, since next Sunday is a fifth Sunday, we will not be having a meal after church. We don't need to bring things from everybody's home and share all that. Although I trust in the Lord and I have no fear of the coronavirus, I still think that we should be wise. In our message this morning, you know, when Jesus began back in the beginning of chapter 11, when we were talking about Jesus and John the Baptist, and then he went through talking about how, you know, what John's function was and what Jesus himself is here to do, and then he began putting woe on the unrepentant towns. And now then, as he starts this out, he says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Now, here what he's talking about, the wise and learned is the educated of the day, which was primarily the leaders of the day, especially the spiritual leaders, but often the spiritual leaders and the governmental leaders were the same people. The scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin. These people are the ones that, as we see, have begun to have opposition with what Jesus is saying and doing. They're the ones that's beginning to tell the crowds, he's not who he claims to be. He is a fake. He's a fraud. Don't follow him. Don't put your faith in him. You know, isn't it strange that even today, some of the most gifted minds on our planet reject Christ, Jesus. I mean, it's almost as if they think they're too smart for God. I can't believe in that. I've heard this many times from well-educated people, people with PhDs, and people with, master's degrees. But I can't believe that. There's no scientific reason behind that. There's not. But there is reasoning behind it. There is eyewitness testimony in the Word of God. And you point that out to them, and they say, yeah, but who wrote that? It was men who wrote that. Well, that's partially true. It was done by the hand of men. But it was under the leadership of God through the Holy Spirit. And it comes down to this one thing, faith. You know, I remember even back when I was in the Navy and doing all kinds of things I shouldn't have been doing, there was a guy that, there were, I think, four or five of us that lived in a town home together, upstairs, downstairs. And the guy that was the one whose name was on the contract, he was older than the rest of us. He was an intelligence officer in the Air Force. And his wife was off in California with her parents, taking care of her elderly parents while we were there in South Carolina. And so during one of our conversations one evening about how it's stupid to have faith, right? That's what he was telling me. It's stupid to have faith. Why would you believe in something you can't see, something you can't touch, something you can't, experience? So I just reminded him, I said, where's your wife right now? He said, well, she's in California with her. I said, can you see her? He said, no. I said, how do you know she's there? Well, because she said so. I said, yeah, but she could be in the arms of another man right now. You wouldn't know. I said, you believe it. You have faith in her. You believe what she tells you. You have faith that she is doing that. I said, so is faith really that ridiculous? And from then on, he didn't want to argue with me anymore. He told me and everybody else that I was trying to make him doubt his wife. I said, no, that was not the point. And he knew what the point was. But he never brought it up again. And so the Lord says here, that he's praising his Father, who he calls, by the way, the Lord of heaven and earth. The Father, or Lord of heaven and earth. So everything is all encompassed. God is the Father of all that exists. But he praised him because he had hidden these things from the wise and learned, but gave it to the children. Who's the children? In this case, it's those of us who are less educated, those of us who are less inclined to know all of the theorems and forums and all of this stuff, of all of the education that you can gather and cause you to think, or rather to overthink, so many things. Have you ever noticed how, especially, if you have a little child or a grandbaby, when they're still young, they may ask you a question, how does this grow? How does this flower grow? Whatever you tell them, hey, they believe it. They don't question it. I remember somebody telling me one time that they were out walking around with her grandson, and the grandson asked his grandpa, he said, how's come that tree limb broke? And he said, well, the wind broke it. He said, can you fix it? He said, sure. And he reached up there, he said, and He was just teasing him. But you know, he reached up there and he stuck it back together and let go, and it stayed there. And he said his grandson went, "Wow." He said, "I never did tell him any different." So kids are open to receive instruction. Rather than questioning everything that you tell them, they just want to be taught. That's what Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to be that way. And in fact, he said, if you don't become as little children, you will never receive the kingdom of God. That's what he means, to be one who accepts what God's word says without questioning, without arguing, without doubting. Just accept it for what it is, for what he says. "Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." All things have been committed to me by my Father, or all authority has been given to me. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Folks, there's a key in here about salvation. There's a key in here about how we come to be a part of the family of God. No one is going to know God. No one is going to accept God except through whom Jesus reveals. Now, who does Jesus reveal to? Jesus reveals to all through his word. The Holy Spirit works to draw us in, but there are people who will always say no. There are people who will always say no. You know, I fear that in our world today, with things being what they are, we have many people who call themselves Christians, and yet they're no different than Satan. What do I mean? Satan believes that Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, he knows it. He's seen him. He's been there. He knows he is the Son of God. But he does not obey him. Do you think he's a Christian? Now think about that, folks. How many people do you know that go by the title Christian and yet do not do what Jesus said? In fact, we'll get into another place here where Jesus says that very thing. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" We have to be careful, because the devil wants to deceive us to believe that all we have to do is say a prayer. All we have to do is come forward and give our heart to Jesus, and that's it. You're in. You're going to heaven no matter what. You can go out and rape, kill, murder. It don't matter. You're still going to heaven. No, that's not what it teaches. There's more to it than just saying a prayer. There is the fact of giving yourself to Jesus. Giving your heart, your mind, your soul, your whole being into becoming like Jesus. That's what happens when we place our faith in Jesus. When we say, "Yes, you are my Lord, Master, and my Savior." The one who can take us from the path to hell and put us on the path to heaven. Savior. Lord. Savior. And he's praising God because those of us who are simple-minded, we believe that. We understand it, right? No. It's people who love the truth. Those are the people who believe it. You don't have to be simple-minded. But yet we are willing to be open to be taught like children, instead of being stubborn and selfish and arrogant and saying, "I know better than God does." You know, Satan said, "I will sit on his throne. I will take over God's place. I will rule. No, he won't. He will burn in hell for all eternity. That's what Satan will do. So then he comes back and he says this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How many people are weary and burdened from this coronavirus, from this pandemic? How many of us need some rest from this? How many of us need assurance that we're still on the right path? We're still okay. He says, come to me. He doesn't say, go to the doctor. He doesn't say, stay at home in fear of everything that's going on around you. Come to me. Come to me. Put your faith in me. And I will take away that weariness. I will take away that worry. I will take away all of that burden. You hand it off to me and I will take it. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't try to handle this by yourself. Give it to me. I will carry it with you. I will carry it for you part of the time, but you have to do your part too. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What's a yoke? Anybody in here know what a yoke is? The yoke on you? Tell me, Holt, what's a yoke? Horses, oxen. Yeah. And usually the yoke had more than one. They were hitched together. And I remember somebody telling me about the G and the Haw, the right and the left. And they had to train these animals, whether it was oxen or donkeys or horses, whatever. They had to train them to work in tandem. They had to work together, because if one was going one way and one the other way, it didn't work. If one wanted to stop and the other one wanted to go, it didn't work. And the Lord is saying, here, yoke with me. Be yoked to me. Let's be a team. Let's work together. Come where I go. Do what I do. Say what I want you to say. Come along with me. That's what he's saying. Be yoked with me. Be in agreement with me. Don't work against me. Don't pull in the opposite direction of me. Come with me and learn from me. That's another thing. How many of you have ever had a mentor for anything? Isn't it great to have a mentor? Joe McKay was a great mentor for me in the ministry. He taught me a lot without ever saying a word. Joe is the kindest human I've ever met. And I've never seen him angry. Never. He told me he got angry, but if he did, he didn't show it. And you know, it's so nice. It's like somebody walking along beside of you and saying, no, not that way, this way. No, you don't need that. Come over here and get this. I remember Joe used to tell me books to buy all the time. You need to pick up this book. You need to pick up. And every once in a while, he would pick up a book for me and he'd bring it to me and say, here, read this. You need this. And he was right. That was always good advice. It was always good. And that's what Jesus is saying, I will do for you. He says, learn from me. I'm your mentor. I'm your teacher. I'm your instructor. If you will yoke yourself to me, if you will bond yourself to me and follow me, I will teach you. You will learn what is righteous and holy. And he says, the reason why you should is because I'm gentle and humble at heart. And after you do, then you will find rest for your souls. For all of those who are flying off the handle and falling apart during this pandemic, they need Jesus. They need to be yoked to Christ. because he will keep us calm. He will keep us at a level-headedness through all of this storm. No matter what happens, the storm of life can be raging around us. But as long as we are yoked with him, he will keep us calm, cool, and collective during all of it. We will be at peace. We will be able to rest and take it easy. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What burden? What burden? Well, didn't he tell us in another place everyone has to take up their cross and bear it? That's what burden he's talking about. Christ says, I'll go with you. I will help you. I will carry part of the load, but hey, you've got to carry your load too. Now, what happens? You come back to this yoke thing. If you have two donkeys or two horses or two oxen, you have one doing all the work and the other one just skating by. That don't work too well, does it? The one gets wore out, and the other one is just goofing off. In fact, how many of you have ever been in a situation where you had a coworker that let you do everything while they went out and smoked and did whatever, played with their cell phone? Yeah, that's not an equal yoking. That's not the way it's meant to be. So, the question this morning is, are you yoked to Christ? And if you are you listening? Are you learning? Are you paying attention to where he's leading? If you have a need, just mind the Lord and come as we sing.